Let's turn our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, please. The Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 1. As I begin, let me tell you about Mark. Mark was a junior in college. Mark was troubled, sort of distressed, actually. It was December. The semester was over. Christmas was near. And Mark felt, he was so distressed, he felt a need to seek out a counselor. And he went to a Christian counseling service. He wanted to find a Christian counselor. Mark was a mature young man, honest, serious. Nevertheless, as he sat down in that counselor's office, he felt wary, nervous. He wanted to get right to the point because, after all, it was expensive, even after the student discount. But he said, I don't know where to begin. Well, begin wherever you would like, the counselor said to him. Well, he began to tell him about his life. I'm a student at the university. I'm a junior. I'm a student in business. And I like classes. He told him about a couple of times he had drunk too much and about one time he had experimented with marijuana. But Mark said, you know, actually, when I compare myself to the other guys, I'm a role model. But I'm upset about myself. He said, when I really look inside myself, I realize that everything is about me. I mean, school is about me. My relationship with my girlfriend, it's really about me. I'm thinking about me. When I think about life, I think about me. I'm disgusted with myself. Why am I always thinking about me? He asked the counselor, and they talked about that. And then as they continued to talk, Mark said, you know, my real worry is God. You don't hear much about God in business classes, and you can't find him in the dorm. But I know that God is there. I know that God exists. And if God is behind the Big Bang and quasars and the mystery of the universe that Einstein tries to describe in the theory of relativity, if God is behind that, then I'm afraid of him. And he said, and if there's a God, I know he's good, and I don't feel as if I'm very good. And so I'm nervous about God. I'm afraid of God. That's why I wanted to come here to talk to you, he explained to the counselor. And then I think to myself, look, if there's a God, I'm so little. If he's in charge of the universe, what in the world? He doesn't even think about me. I mean, what do we mean to him anyway? So anyway, Mark explained his trouble and his fear to the counselor. And because it was Christmas time and because there were Christmas carols in the air, I mean, the counselor and he looked at various passages, but one of the passages that they looked at was this passage. I'd like you to follow as I read, beginning in Matthew 1, verse 18. I'm going to replace the word Christ with Messiah. I think that's a better way to read the text. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Wow. And the angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Jesus' birth is a miracle. There's no way to get around it. It's a bald miracle, a great wonder from God. It is a unique event, a virgin conception, a virgin birth. You have a difficult time sort of wrapping your mind around that possibility. You find yourself doubting it? Well, Joseph doubted it too. He couldn't believe it. Until an angel came, appeared to him, and assured him in a dream that Mary was innocent, Mary was with child through the Holy Spirit, and that Joseph was instructed to take her home as his wife. And he did. It's important for us to see, sometimes we look at the virgin birth as sort of a stumbling block to faith. It is designed by God exactly the opposite of that. It is designed by God to be a great sign to help us believe that God is at work in this person, this baby who is born. I mean, this is not the first time that a birth has been miraculous and is a sign from God. Think about Abraham and Sarah. They were old, impossible to have a child. And yet God said, in 1 year's time, Sarah will conceive and bear a child. And she did. It was a great sign. It was a miracle. This is God's gift. This is the child of promise. A sign designed to help them trust in God. Or think about another birth. Think about the birth of Moses. At a time when Pharaoh was breathing down the necks of Jewish mothers and threatening them with death, Moses was born, hidden in his home, and then placed in a basket and found by the daughter of Pharaoh and raised in Pharaoh's palace. A great sign that God was at work. God was visiting his people. God would deliver his people. Or think of the birth of John the Baptist, also a miracle. The same as Abraham and Sarah. Zechariah and Elizabeth were old, impossible to have a child, but a child was given. Once again, this is very significant. It's designed to be a sign. God is at work. God is intervening. And the ultimate sign, the ultimate sign is the one that is given, a miraculous birth. Here, God has visited humanity. My theme sentence is that Jesus' miraculous birth is a sign from God. God has come down to save us in Jesus. Now the angel said, "He will be a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus is a name which means salvation or savior. And And he will save us from our sin. That's exactly what Mark needed to hear. He needed to hear that God had sent his son to be our savior. Most Americans don't like to hear that nonsense about sin. Oh, we don't, you know. We're okay. Americans tend to be optimists. A few years back, you know, we had this street talk feature that's in our local paper, and the question was asked, are you on Santa's nice list or on Santa's naughty list? Well, what do you think? They asked six people. Four of them were sure they were on Santa's nice list, and the other two thought they would make it. Well, that's the way we think. We're optimists. Some years back, Time and CNN did a poll of the American people about heaven and hell. 81% of Americans, according to this poll, believe in heaven, and 61% of Americans believe they're going there. We're on God's nice list. Only 1% of Americans, according to this poll, believe they were going to hell. 15% thought that purgatory was ahead, and 5% believed in reincarnation. But that's the way we think. We're optimists. We think everything is going to be okay. There's no judgment to be afraid of, no God to fear. God is a cosmic Santa Claus, and we're sure that we're on his nice list. We're sure we're going to heaven. Well, Mark didn't feel that way. Mark, the counselor pointed out to him, she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Mark was aware of that center of him that was so selfish. And Mark is much closer to right than those 61% of Americans who just assume that they're going to heaven. It's true that our God is the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of all. He is awesome and mighty. Our God is to be feared. And we are all guilty before him. The more we know God, the more we fear him. An Old Testament poet put it this way, who is like the Lord our God? Who is enthroned on high, who stoops down to look upon the heavens and the earth. He is awesome. He is powerful. He is the creator and Lord of all. But the good news is, from the beginning of the Bible to the end, the good news is that God is a God who comes down to us. He comes down. I mean, in the Garden of Eden, God came down to be with Adam and Eve in the Eden, in the garden. Think about in the time of Abraham. God came down to call Abraham to himself, to set him apart, to appoint him and his posterity, and ultimately Christ, who's born through his seed, would be a blessing to the entire earth. Or think about in the days of Moses. I mean, when the people of Israel are in tents and they're in the desert, God has his people build him a tent because God lives with his people. It's an elaborate tent. It's a beautiful tent. It's built according to God's specifications. It has a surrounding courtyard, and it has a holy place, and then a most holy place where only once a year the high priest enters, and never without blood. It's a holy tent. But think of the significance of the tent. God is a God who comes down, who lives with his people. He has to have a tent too when his people dwell in tents. Well, the good news of Christmas, astonishing though it is, awesome, I mean, we so misuse that word. This is awesome. God has come down to be one of us in human form. Jesus, this passage teaches us that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. In the ultimate sense, God is one of us. God becomes human. This fulfills prophecy. Centuries before, Isaiah had said that a virgin will conceive and give birth to a child, and you shall name him Emmanuel. And Matthew, who is a very effective evangelist of a Jewish audience, Matthew carefully points out the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. God is with us. He is Emmanuel. God is with us in grace. God is with us in mercy. God has come to us to save us. Jesus, this child who is born, grew to manhood, began his ministry, preached the gospel to the poor, healed the sick, demonstrated his great power. He brought the kingdom of God to the earth, and then he died on the cross in our place and was raised again. Jesus is God with us to save us. That's the message that Christmas brings to us. That's the message that we all need to hear. That's the message that Mark desperately needed to understand. This idea that God is with us is emphasized a great deal throughout Scripture. I mean, think about God is with us to lead us and to bless us. I mean, that's what David was saying when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He was saying God is with us to lead us and to bless us. And certainly God is with us God is with us when we serve him. And it's very important to remember that. God is with us when we serve him. I mean, think of Moses at the burning bush, tasked with bringing Israel out of Egypt. He was terrified. How could I possibly do such a thing? And what was God's assurance to him? God's word to him was, I will be with you. That makes it possible. I will be with you. It doesn't matter how weak you are, I will be with you. Joshua was told to lead the people of Israel into the promised land, and he would have to defeat enemies far greater and stronger than Israel. But God said to him, I will be with you. Do not be afraid. I will be with you. Jesus sends you and me across the street to our neighbors or across the ocean to bring the gospel, the good news of Christ to others. And how does he tell us to do that? He says, I will be with you always. In our home, we have those words in German. Ich bin bei euch alle Tage bis an der Welt Ende. I'm with you always. I'm with you, even to the end of the world. And so we can serve God. And God is with us also in suffering. This is not a congregation that is a stranger to suffering, but rather, like our Savior, we are familiar with suffering. There's a lot of illness. There is cancer. There is fear. There is loneliness. There is uncertainty. There is the shadow of death. God is with us in our suffering. In the words of Isaiah, When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, the flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This theme of God with us is a theme throughout Scripture, now finding its ultimate form. Jesus is Emmanuel, come to save us sinners. Words that were very important to Mark. You know, as we look at this passage, we really have to fit it into its context and into Matthew's purpose. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. Just turn back a page to verse 1 of that chapter. We read these words, a record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew is a very skillful evangelist targeting a Jewish audience. And he begins by announcing what every Jew longed for, the coming of the Messiah. And he begins by announcing that he is recording the genealogy of the birth of that very one, the Messiah, is Jesus. He then says in verse 17 that there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. And then in verse 18, we have the words, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. It's very difficult to miss, and it's impossible to miss the message that Matthew is saying that Jesus is the Messiah. He is targeting a Jewish audience. He wants them to understand that the Messiah has arrived. He's come. He is Jesus. And this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. You can see how he quotes Scripture very frequently. Matthew quotes Scripture to show how these events fulfill what was promised. He is presenting Jesus not only as Emmanuel come to save, but also as Messiah who has come to rule. The Jews expected a Messiah who would be the son of David, like David. I mean, David was a warrior, a conqueror. Everywhere that David went, God gave him victory. And they assumed that Messiah would be David squared or David cubed. You know, I mean, he would be a great warrior. Jerusalem would become the capital city of the entire earth. Rome would be crushed, and the Messiah would rule. That was what they were expecting. And indeed, Jesus was a warrior. But a warrior against an even greater enemy, not a political power. He was a warrior against death itself. And Jesus made war against death not with a sword, but by surrendering himself to the sword. Jesus made war with our greatest and most terrible enemy, death itself, by submitting himself to death and taking into himself all of death's terrors and horror for all of us, for the entire human race. He is, after all, God become flesh. And he can do that for all of us. Take all of the terrors of death into himself and die in our place. And then to be buried, stone dead. And then the third day, to walk out of the tomb. Matthew's gospel emphasizes that Jesus is the Messiah who has now entered into his reign. The gospel concludes, quoting the risen Jesus who is appearing to his disciples, and they're dumbfounded, they're worshiping, some of them are doubting, They see him, the risen Jesus, and Jesus says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He is the Messiah. Messiah means anointed one, the anointed king. He has now entered his reign. He is ruling and reigning from the right hand of the Father. And Jesus, the risen Messiah, the King of the world, who now rules, invites us all to be in his kingdom by receiving him. When we receive Christ as our Savior, as our Lord, then he will receive us and we'll be part of his kingdom and we'll be followers of Jesus, eager to share the good news of Jesus, our Savior, the one who forgives us our sin, the one who brings us to God. He will receive us if we turn to him and receive him. Look at 2:11. We think that the Magi are right. In 2:11 it says, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh." And that's what we do. If we understand Matthew's message, we are eager to worship him. He is God, become man, to rescue and redeem us sinners, and to reconcile the entire universe, the entire creation, to God. Jesus' miraculous birth is a great sign. God has come down to save us in Jesus. Well, Mark continued to meet with the counselor. He really got so he trusted him. He sought out a campus ministry and got into Bible study, got into a local church, heard the gospel shared and proclaimed, and he himself received Christ and became a Christian. And this morning, at this Christmas season, if you have not yet received Christ as your Savior, now is the time to receive him, to bend the knee, to worship, to say to him, "I believe you died for me. Come into my life and take control." He will receive you if you receive him. Now, when we trust in Christ, we may take the message of Christmas for ourselves. God is with us, really. Really. No matter what your circumstances are, and there are many, many different trials that we face. Some of you face financial trouble or health issues or relational problems that give you severe headaches. Some of you face health questions or health issues. I don't care what our need is, and we all have needs. The message of Christmas is God is with us, really. If we belong to Christ, we may personalize that sacred message. Emmanuel. Somewhere, I read the story of 8-year-old Jared. Not our Jared, another Jared. Jared was looking forward to going to a birthday party at his friend's house, 3 blocks away or not too far away. He was really looking forward to the birthday party. And it was in the wintertime. When the day finally came, actually there was a terrible storm, almost a blizzard. I mean, the sidewalks were impassable, the roads were impassable, and his dad did not want him to go. But Jared cried and bawled, "Oh, all the other kids will be there. They're letting their kids go, the other parents, and I'll be okay, Dad. I've been there a million." So he let him go. His dad listened and let him go. So he bundled him up, you know, coat, hat, scarf, boots, mittens, and sent him out into the storm. And it took him longer than usual. It took him quite a bit longer, about 20 minutes, but he finally got there, found himself, at the door, ringing the doorbell. And as he rang the doorbell, he turned back and thought he saw a shadow of a figure that was slipping away. It was his father. His father had followed him every step of the way to guarantee that he arrived at that home safely. And that is the message of Christmas. No matter where you are, no matter what trial you're facing, God is with us. That is his promise. God is with us, really. Let's bow together in prayer.